Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermons at Grace Community Church to our lives as followers of Jesus. From time to time, we're also going to address other topics as it's helpful for us as we consider how to live our faith out in our world. Our desire and our hope is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. Good afternoon. Today is March the 25th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm well.
Good. We are in Holy Week. Palm Sunday was yesterday, and here we are getting ready for Good Friday and Easter, and So many churches around the city. It's a busy week.
Yeah. You see
good and busy week.
Yeah. See a lot of signs out and evidence of people getting ready for the weekend, which we are doing here at Grace.
That's right. Yeah, so which we can go ahead and say that now. I mean, for those that may be listening to this and are newer to Grace and maybe weren't here last season during Good Friday. So we'll have a Good Friday service. We mentioned that, 6 p.m. Is that right?
That's right.
6 p.m. on Friday. So we'll be there, have that going on. And then Easter, we'll have 8:45 and 10:30 service.
That's right.
Just remember, there's no Sunday school. There is childcare for pre-K and under, but there is no Sunday school.
That's right.
But it'll be a good time.
Yeah. And then, like I said, on Sunday, if there are some who normally come to the second service but want to come to the first, that would be a bit helpful to us because we have a lot of, you know, usually we have a bigger crowd in the second service and kind of it's hard to find seats. So first service is smaller. So if people can shift there a little bit, not everybody, how do we do that? We should like say if you're, you know, alphabetical, if your name is from A to whatever, you know, A to L, come at the first.
But then if you put me in the service with my initial and the wrong one I don't want, then I'm going to be angry. but I would say, too, even if you're a member, I mean, serve in one of those child care spots if you want to.
That's
Lucy and I are going to be serving in one of the hours, help with kiddos.
Good.
So it's a good way to serve in that, for especially for visitors that come.
It's a good weekend to for a lot of things, to build our own faith, get together Friday night, talk about the cross. We're going to have the Lord's Supper together, preach from Isaiah 53. Hopefully there will be some people joining us who are not Christians. I know in years past we've had people who have come who are not Christians. That would be great because we'll just share the gospel. Share about Christ and the atonement and faith, repentance and faith and grace. So encourage people to invite their friends. But I would also encourage people to remember that we are focused on the cross. And so just even musically, it's a little different. There's a lot of songs about the cross. We're sort of reenacting the weekend in worship service. So cross and songs about the cross and the Lord's Supper, which was the night before Jesus died. Then we move to Easter Sunday and certainly talk about the cross again, but the resurrection is prominent. So I would encourage people to invite family, friends, people who don't know the Lord, and let it build the same message. This is what I'll say too, and then we can move on, but I've always believed this. Sometimes people think there's a time that you go to a service and it's like only for Christians. And there's another time you go to a service and it should be for people who aren't Christians. And I guess there is some truth to that to some degree. But I'm always reminded the same message, really, of the gospel of Christ is both edifying to Christians. It enriches and builds our faith. And it is evangelistic to the non-Christian.
Right.
So I can't think of a better weekend than Good Friday and Easter to do both of those.
Right.
In the same, at the same time.
Yeah.
So I would encourage people to come and to invite someone.
Yeah. And with all that, to be praying for people that will be attending and, you know, and which kind of gets me into Palm Sunday, but yesterday's sermon was the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great explanation of the gospel. I knew someone that was there that I don't know if they're in faith or not. And I was like, oh man, this is so great. Clear explanation of the gospel. So give us a little bit of an overview from, we started in 52.
Yeah.
As you said, Isaiah didn't make the chapter breaks. And so 52, starting with the servant and then kind of going through 53.
Well, that's what it was. It's the fourth servant song or servant passage in the book of Isaiah when the servant is referring to the coming Messiah, and to Jesus Christ. It does start in chapter 52, verse 13. It goes on through 53. And this one had a special attention on the sin-bearing nature of the servant. Mm-hmm. The servant in this one, it's very clear. I mean, the language is so clear that this servant takes on the sins of other people and suffers for them, dies for them, and in doing so, removes the guilt and brings people to God.
Yeah.
That's the message of Isaiah 53. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
And that was Sunday sermon.
Yeah. And I like to, you divided it into five sections, right? So kind of go through those sections.
Yeah.
I thought that was helpful.
Well, if you pick up a commentary on Isaiah, that's often most common commentators. Some will break it down differently.
Yeah.
But it's very common to see five sections, and each section has three verses, and those then revolve around certain things. And people use different words.
Right.
The words I used, again, not original. I'm sure I've read them in other places, but there many people use this language. That the first section, God speaks about the exaltation of this servant. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of introduces you to the idea that a servant's coming and he's great. He's wise and he's great and he's going to be exalted. But then the next section goes right into his rejection.
Right.
And so if you think about Jesus, you know, he's the Son of God, but when he comes to earth, he's rejected by people. Mm-hmm. You know, he was born, he grew up, and then boom, he's not what people expected and they reject him.
Right.
The third section then is about the significance of this servant. It's like, what does he actually do?
Yeah,
and that's where it talks about how he bore away our sins and our griefs and our sorrows, and the chastisement that brought us peace landed on him. Mm-hmm. And so we're coming back to that on Good Friday, but that's the significant portion, his significance. The third portion then goes back up. It's like it goes, you know, exaltation, rejection, death, and then we go back up, rejection, exaltation. So the fourth section is his rejection again in chapter 53. But this one shows that he did it willingly and silently. Mm-hmm. And then the final section is God is again talking about the exaltation of the suffering servant because he actually accomplished something. Mm-hmm. And that accomplishment was he saved people.
Yeah.
And so that was the message on Sunday.
Yeah.
Calling people to see that it's a sermon, not just an information, not an infomercial.
Right.
It's a sermon. It calls for you to respond in faith.
Yeah. Good. Well, one of the questions I want to talk to you about was in this in these sections about the suffering servant being rejected.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to talk about, you were talking about that in those sections, and you were speaking about how often, you know, especially when we look at the Gospels, that Jesus didn't meet the expectations of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that even as Christians, we can think at times in our life as we were growing into Christ's likeness that there were times that maybe Jesus didn't meet our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So could you speak to like what does rejection look like as far as people that aren't in faith and people that are in faith? Obviously the rejection for those people that are in faith is a little different because they're in faith, but maybe you go through life and Jesus is not meeting the expectations that you would think for him.
Okay.
So kind of speak to that. What does that look like?
I think I know what you mean on that.
Yeah.
Well, so yes, when Jesus came and he made claims and he said things and many people followed him, but many people rejected him.
Right.
And so we all, you know, you have to ask why, and there's lots of layers to that question. Mm-hmm. Why? Mainly people follow Christ because God opens their eyes to see who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God and the Savior and Lord and worth, giving our lives to and worth trusting to save us, all right?
Yeah.
But people reject him when their eyes aren't opened.
Yeah.
And they are dull in their own sin. But then you could also go another step and say, okay, but what is it that dulls it? Like, why?
Yeah.
Their own sin dulls them. But also, in a sense, it's because Jesus doesn't always live up to the expectations of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get that in Isaiah because it says, you know, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him. He had no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So, all right, that means that you, if if someone came along who dazzled us with his physical appearance and his ability to give us everything we wanted and meet all of our needs, we might be, naturally speaking, without God opening our eyes, we'd probably still want to follow that guy.
Right.
But that's not what Jesus did. Of course, he did heal people and he did speak a great word of grace. But he wasn't at the beck and call of everyone to give everybody everything they needed. Mm-hmm. And he kept talking about dying and suffering right. and dying and being rejected and rising on the third day.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't what people were thinking about when they thought about a Messiah.
Right.
So there's that other reason that they just, they rejected him. Now, for the Christian, you asked me how does it work for, so that's how it works for a non-Christian. And that's why we pray for them and we preach the gospel. Because we know in our own hearts there was a point in which we were not a Christian, and we pray that God will open their eyes to see the reality of Jesus and grant them the gift of faith and respond to him by faith. Now, the Christian who does believe in Jesus, I think that was where you were going with part of your question, still has to align their expectations about God himself with God as they grow in their faith.
Yeah.
I'm sure a Christian... you know, someone can be a Christian and say, I do trust Christ alone for my salvation.
Yeah.
And I've committed, you know, put my whole faith and hope in him and my life is in his hands. But there's this thing called indwelling sin that remains with us, and we're not complete in Christ yet. And so life is a process of spiritual growth. And along the way, we have to admit, God's not doing what I thought he would do. And instead of getting mad at him or instead of walking away from him, the point is that we adjust, we repent, adjust, align ourselves with him, and we let him do his work in our lives to get us to see Christ more clearly. As he is, not as we expect him to be.
Yeah.
So does that help? Is that what you're driving at?
Yeah, that does. You know, I just think about, you know, even when people initially come to faith, you know, there's a lot of things that are needing to grow, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you may even come to faith genuinely, but have a perspective that, well, Christ is going to make everything better, you know, for example. And then you start getting in, you're like, oh, actually my life is getting a little more challenging. And so then, you know, you could be tempted to say, you know, I'm going to reshape Jesus how I want him to be for me, which is not according to the Bible. And, you know, but that's what I was thinking. So I think you answered it. Yeah. I think it's just idea of ongoing sanctification. And we're always having to really ask ourselves, okay, am I really defining Jesus according to scripture or according to what I want?
Yeah. You know? I'm not going to. Yeah. So we would, another way we would say it is here, it says he was rejected. Some people claim faith in Christ. They have some kind of something, initial experience with Christ. Then they walk away from him. And you ask why? And they'll say, well, because I've been disillusioned or disillusioned. Yeah. Or I have been disappointed. You know, something happened. It didn't meet my expectation. And I walked away. And sanctification is no, you don't walk away. You repent.
Right.
And then you come to Christ as Christ is. Now, here's the thing, okay? I need to say this. I've just said, everything we've just said the last 10 minutes makes it sound like that when you come to Christ, you're going to be disappointed in Jesus because he's not going to be what you expected.
Yeah.
Well, that may be the case, but once you get through that, like once you come to see who Jesus is, you're going to see that Jesus is so much more than you ever dreamed he could be.
Yeah.
Like he's so much more gracious than you thought.
Yeah.
A lot of people come to faith in Christ and still want to hold on to a little bit of legalism.
Yeah.
And then they fail. Instead of being disillusioned with Christ, they need to say, oh man, I'm disillusioned with myself.
Yeah.
And look how gracious Christ is.
Right. Yeah.
To receive me back, forgive me again.
Yeah.
And walk with me and not leave me. So I don't want to paint the picture of if you come to faith in Christ, you're going to find out he's not what you thought. He's not what you expected, and you're going to be tempted to walk away. Okay, well, that may happen to you. But don't forget, if you stay with Christ, you're going to find that what you thought he should be is so much less than what he actually is.
Yeah.
He's a much greater Savior and Lord than any of us can really ever imagine.
Yeah.
And so all the more we should be following him with our whole heart.
And I'm glad you brought up grace, because that is one of those aspects about God that I think you're right. we have a concept of grace at salvation, but man, the more and more we live close to Him, the more extraordinary that His grace becomes. It's like, I was kind of disillusioned that I had a small view of His grace, and that box is now opening even wider. And it's like, oh, wow, this is so great a reality that I could never imagine.
If there's any disappointment to be had, it should be my disappointment with myself. And then that is an open door when I just give up hope of any righteousness in myself. And trust Christ alone. Then I can walk with Him. And that will lead to obedience, and it will also lead to joy and a clear vision.
Here's a last question that we get in our time. It's more about a question for Good Friday and, and maybe an Easter, how people can be praying through this text this week. And I know you're already doing that. You're sending emails out using this. And this morning you sent out one about Him acting wisely, which comes from Isaiah 53. But what are some sections where, you know, where you're going to be focused on Friday and Easter a little bit? You may not know all of it, but that we could be just be praying for people that will be coming.
Well, on Good Friday, I'm going to return to the heart of Isaiah 53. So you remember I said there were five sections. And I'm going to return specifically to section 3, which is in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. And it is very much focused on the actual work of Christ. So the others were on His exaltation or His rejection. This one is on what He actually did. And so we're going to really spend a lot of time focusing on the substitutionary atoning work of Jesus on our for our sins, on our behalf for our sins. And that is the whole foundation of forgiveness and reconciliation to God. So be praying this week that as that message is preached, that it will be do two things, how we started this. It will edify Christians, build them up in their faith, more confidence in Christ, and it will also draw non-Christians among us to the Lord. I guess a third prayer would be that from it, we could all learn how to present the gospel to people in who are not at church with us.
Yeah, that's good.
And so that's what I would say about Good Friday. Sunday morning, interestingly, the resurrection is actually alluded to in Isaiah 53 when it says that he's going to see his offspring. You know, he's going to be rewarded. Well, that means this suffering servant who died has to be alive. Well, there's the resurrection. And he's gathering in his people, which is his reward, his offspring. So we will, obviously, it's Easter Sunday, so we'll be talking all about the resurrection of Christ.
Great. Well, encourage everyone to be in attendance, and but most importantly, to be in prayer as the word is preached, like you said, for edification for the church and for lost people to have their eyes opened to the truth of Christ. Great. Well, thanks.
Okay.